If you keep notes and write things down, I've personally heard only one thing in regards to the fellowship this morning or the sharing. It came as a very strong voice. Seldom do I receive a strong voice. It's more of a fellowship, more of a, let me tell you this, I love you, you know, all those wonderful things that we all hear. But it was last night, late for me, that I was working on something, and this is what I felt as though I heard, that I would appreciate for your lives if you would write it down. He said, stay inside of truth. Stay inside of truth. I believe it was last week that I had an opportunity to share, and I shared the vision that I had in regards to a solid granite pillar that was large in height and that was beautiful. But when I looked at it, the Holy Spirit was, in essence, allowing me to think the way He was thinking, that I needed to see it, and that was that it was very solid and it was very large and it had great depth. And then inside that piece of granite, there was an individual standing right inside of it. And I looked, and I could tell that they were standing there, and on both sides of them, the granite extended. I could tell that it was deep, deeper than just an onion skin. They were deep into it, and I knew by Him allowing me to know that there was depth behind it also. So you could say that they were encased in this granite. And He explained to me that that granite represented truth, pure truth. And then Leah reminded me of a previous time that I believe it was a dream at this time, and that this truth, this piece of granite, was standing all by itself, above everything, sort of isolated to where it would draw your attention to it if you came to it. And there were people that were speaking against truth. And when the words hit that granite, they almost completely dissipated, evaporated, and fell completely to the ground. And however long that took for the Holy Spirit to get it over to me is how long the dream lasted. And then I woke up. And in essence, He was saying that that truth will stand forever. Never ever will there be a time in our existence, both here and in heaven, that that truth will not still be alive, will still not be shining light, and will be truth. It's truth. If you have your Bibles, this is the beginning of an opening. It may be once again that we don't get to the handout, but I'm really hopeful that we get to it. But it's a very good possibility that that's my will and not His will. So we'll go. We will not be driven, we'll be led. So you understand demons drive. And Holy Spirit leads. You are never, ever driven by God. You're only led by Him. And you've reached out and touched His outreach hand and you're walking together. And if you try to get ahead of him and he has a certain speed, you have to leave go of his hand, because he's never going to leave go of your hand, you know. But he is saying, go at my speed. And within the words, if we have an opportunity to review, he has said that more than once. So John chapter 8, and when I mention a verse, the majority that is listening to my voice realize that we're not taking a verse out of context. If I had a choice, I would begin to read from the very beginning of the subject to the very end of the subject, and we might get past this point number one in half an hour. But I'm pulling out a truth, and it's in preparation for reading the words. This is sort of setting the table for when we begin to eat the words that he's given us. This is truth. This is truth. And so are these truth. To me, they fit right inside. The Holy Spirit is an excellent teacher, and he's able to go get the truth that was from everlasting to everlasting, and he's pulled out a portion of the truth that were in his classroom, and he wants you to understand what his laser focus is for us for this very moment. So, did I say John chapter 8? I want to go to verse 44, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and we'll go forward. The Lord was talking to the religious leaders of his time. They had been challenging him, and he was going to set things straight, and he mixed no words. He didn't say, pretty please, with sugar on it, will you listen to what I'm about to say? He didn't say it in such a way that he was on bended knees and saying, please, please, listen to what I have to say. No. He was the Son of Man. He had full authority. And he was going to speak the truth into them to see if, in fact, then any of them would hear what he had to say. And he said the following, you are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lusts and gravity, the desires which are characteristic of your father. You're imitating your father. That's who you are. That's who your father is. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him. For he is a liar himself, and the father of lies, and of all that is false. And then in Mark 15, or 4:15, is one of the passages that it talks about the sower sows the word. And it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately. Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You truly, or we truly, only have one enemy, and that's the father of lies. And he knows when the truth has been delivered. And his number one purpose, 100% of his time, is to remove the truth out of you. He immediately comes. And he comes. Let me put it this way. If I ask if she knew she was born again, she would say yes. She'd immediately say yes. If I ask her, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? She'd say yes. Do you believe in speaking in tongues? She would say yes. The enemy knows that there's no sense of wasting any time talking to her about whether she's born again or not, nor to the majority of you here. You have all had your struggles. You've all had your fights. You all had your warfare to begin and to know that you're absolutely born again. So he'll never talk to you about whether you're, do you know that you're born again? Because he already knows that you have placed that truth in your heart, and he's not going to waste time. But as far as new revelation knowledge, as far as something that you just heard, is his greatest playground to try to destroy, because he immediately comes. He immediately comes. In the first verse that we read, you understand he is a father. He is a father. And he does have children, part of their nature, that he uses to try to destroy the truth out of your life. It's called deception, right? It's called deception. So the amount of revelation knowledge that is coming forth from the prayer center and has always come forth, this is not a new season. The struggles that each one of us has is the new revelation knowledge that's coming forth. That is the truth. But he has to come immediately and try to remove it out of you. Three out of the four grounds produce absolutely no fruit. We're all aware of that. There's only one ground that produces the fruit, and that's those that do exactly what Jesus says to do. So you're living in a warfare. You're living in a struggle, a lifestyle of continually having to destroy the enemy who comes in however he is able to come into your life to try to destroy the truth out of you. There is very little persecution that comes when you already believe a lie. Matter of fact, I could almost say there's no persecution that comes in regards to the word if you've already believed the lie. That's why what's transpiring out there currently, and has always transpired, if they have no ground, if they're wayside ground, cares of life, the three types of ground, there's no persecution against the majority of them because they've already believed the lie. So the persecution that you happen to be going through, look up the word persecution. Let me see if I did. Persecute means to pursue with harassing or oppressive treatment, especially because of your truth. If they persecuted him, they will persecute you. If they will come against everything that the Lord Jesus said, let me read the verse. I believe I have it. Remember, this is John 15:20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours. That's the life that you have chose to live. That's the fellowship that you've chose. And we need to continually remember that there will be persecution, mostly with words. The devil is still saying what he originally said. It's almost like he doesn't have any other tune. Hath God said? Hath God said? Hath God said? Don't know how many times he told Eve that. I do know in our lives, it seems like he never grows tired. Even when you tell him to shut up, or however you tell him to be still, or however many times you dismiss him, he never gives up. He comes back next hour. He comes back the next day. Praise and worship has a great deal to do with shutting him up and keeping him gone. But in reality, that's his job, is to steal the word out of you, to steal the truth. I will give you one more verse, and that is, many more. Ephesians 6. And you could read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, but I'm going to pick out one verse, and that is verse 12. Once again, I'm going to read from the Amplified. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against deep ocean, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. In the King James it reads, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is who your fight is. That is exactly who you're fighting against. And he chooses to use voices, whether they're supernatural or whether they're natural, to bring persecution against your truth. I could add against your blueprint. I could add against the last message that was taught here. And Jesus, when he was tempted by him, he did say one time, get behind me, Satan, because you will worship my Father. Another will you worship. But he also said it to an individual. When that individual tried to convince him, he didn't do a very good job, incidentally, but he did try. He took him aside, talked to him, and said, no, this can't happen to you. It happened to be Peter. It was right after, within a day or the same day, that Jesus had told Peter about, upon this truth, I'm going to establish my church. And Peter may have thought that he was talking about him. So maybe pride entered into him. He's saying, you know, all my hope is with the Lord. And, you know, he's going to establish a kingdom and I'm going to be somebody special in it. I don't know what all took place, but I do know that he took the Lord aside to say, don't do this. You don't have to do this. You're not hearing God. It's not part of your blueprint, you know. And Jesus turned and seen all the other disciples, and he said in their presence, get behind me, Satan. For you, Savior, you want manly wisdom and not godly wisdom. You most likely have already entered into this in your own life. And if not, for sure you will. And we've been polite about it. But it's about time that those that sow discord among the brethren, Proverbs chapter 6, read it. These six things do I hate, seven is abomination. It is about time, past time, that you stand up for your rights and you tell those individuals that are speaking into your life, however you want to say, get behind me. You need to begin to say it. You need to begin to say it. That lifestyle is within the handout. The Lord is saying, you have come to a level of maturity that no longer is mercy needed for you in some areas, but grace is mightily upon you to walk out what I have created you to be and what you have asked to become, and mercy is no longer needed, and I'm expecting you, in my way, I'm expecting you to grow up and stand up and use your authority, as we talked last week. Don't touch one of the children in this prayer center. There's more than me that's saying that. I've been accused of being intense. You haven't seen intensity yet. You haven't seen it. You touch one of my granddaughters in the natural, I've already died for her. Nothing's more important. Nothing's more important. That love, I received it. I didn't earn that love. You touch someone in this family and you try to lead them astray, you use your witchcraft, you use whatever. I keep saying to myself, be careful, and he keeps saying, why? Why me? You know, because each one of you can walk there, and each one of you can help by being sure that none of the lambs are hurt. And there's going to be so many. One of the confessions the prayer center makes, calling in the lost, a minimum of 1,000 people being born again every week from the family of the prayer center. And that's not an idle confession. That's a godly hope that's been put clear inside of us. And I've addressed that a little bit before, saying, Lord, that's 52,000 at the end of the first year as a minimum, because we put no limits on you. We put no boundaries on you. You gave us 1,000 a week, but that was a day of small beginnings. Where you're coming, you need to be prepared to take care of them. And I'm creating an army. We call it a family, but I'm creating an army to take care of them. I'm bringing to pass Ezekiel 30, chapter 34, the true shepherds that will go out of their way. If they're wounded, the next set of verses would be Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read only verse 13 and 14. This is Paul speaking and saying, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, laser focused, one thing I do, it is my only aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards to that that lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. In the King James, brother, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've heard more than one word that talked about the level of fellowship and the level of relationship and the level of companionship that we are to be pressing towards is the high call of God. beyond your individual gifts, beyond your individual talents. One of the words that are in here says something along the line that the only thing that's left available for you is what is within your life in me. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is pressing towards that mark. The high call. The high call. The oneness in Him. In Him. 24/7, incidentally. And then I'm going to go to Psalms 103. And I'm going to let you read the whole thing as homework or in your time of fellowship. I know you know this, or I believe that you know this, but there are three things on the face of this earth that has come from heaven for us. Only three things. It has come from heaven and come to us as children. The first one, and this is not in priority, they all rank equal. The first one is my Holy Spirit. You're familiar with that. The second thing is the Word, the Lord Jesus Himself. And the third thing is His angels. That's the only three things that is here from heaven. And there's only one thing that's from the earth, and that's you, His body. Put them together, and you have the Father's will. Your words, not your meditation. Meditation, imagery, and delivery comes first. Godly hope and seeing the future comes first. But it's your words that you speak that activates, if you want to say it that way, the Holy Spirit and all of His power to tell the angels what to do. And you know, the angels are never disobedient. You know, they don't have an opinion. They don't have I wonder what I should do about this. They are doers, 110%, if there's such a thing. They take orders, they obey the orders, and they do them, period. And there's many instances of it. Can you imagine when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And I'm not to go there, but bottom line of it is, the second time that He went back and said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done," an angel showed up, and it says comforted Him, helped Him. However that took place, we know that it happened. We just don't know the content of what happened, when it happened. But we do know that when He come out and Peter decided to take the ear off of a servant and the Lord put it back on, and the Lord Jesus had to turn to Peter and said, "Peter, I know you don't understand this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If I ask the Father to send a legion of angels, He'd take care of all this. But my blueprint, or my Father's will that I've already turned my will over to Him, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Those angels would come and take care of all this." He had the authority to do that and chose not to because He had already surrendered His will. So, angels, Psalms 103. I'm going to read just two verses once again, verses 20 and 21. "Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength." Wasn't it one angel in the Old Testament killed to destroyed an army of how many? How many? 85,000. One angel. I would say that's a warrior. Anyway, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. When you confess the word, when you confess the word, not only does the Holy Spirit hear it, all of heaven hears it, but the angels hearken to your word. And guaranteed they can do anything and everything that the Holy Spirit releases them to do for your victory, because it's already been won. The other thing that is seems to be an irritant for all of us is the amount of distractions and the amount of interruptions, the amount of seemingly crisis that comes into our life. The enemy brought them all. It's possible that your flesh cooperated somewhat, but the source is the enemy coming to steal not only your word, but steal your time. If he can steal your time, he has stolen your life. Period. And I've heard not only myself, but others that continually say, I just never get anything done. Why do I have to do this? Whatever this task was. Can't somebody else be doing this? Can't somebody else be doing that? I think Lee and I were at the hospital two or three times this week. I'm not exaggerating, nor am I bragging. It's part of who we are. It's part of being in a family. And you continually, if you continue to allow the enemy to say, you'll never get in the amount of fellowship with the Lord, whether any of the seven things that we're to do. You'll never have time to do this. You'll never make it. He comes immediately to steal it, right? He comes immediately to seal the truth out of you. You know you heard the Lord said, go do this. You went and do this, but you were obedient, but you weren't necessarily willing. And he said, you have to be willing and obedient to eat the fat of the land, or to be in his perfect will, let's put it that way. You need to be willing and obedient. I'm going to give you two scriptures that you might want to write down and use it against the enemy and really use it against your soul. The first one is Colossians 3:17, and the second one is Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. And then 3:23, whatsoever your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for men. You can still all of the enemy's voices, all of it, if you put those in your heart and say, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. one of the things that we know, co-laboring with him. Jerry and Linda is going to take Christine to the airport tomorrow because she's going back to Peru. And Jerry most likely would enjoy studying the word or praying or worship for the 4 hours that it's going to take out of his life. You notice I didn't mention fasting? You know, it's those it's those that we enjoy. But, Lord, I'm doing this unto you. Whatsoever I'm doing unto you. I'm not looking for an reward. I'm just doing this. I'm just living my life 24/7 unto you. And whatsoever I do, I'm doing unto you. The level of peace that will come, the amount of stillness that you will hear from the enemy's camp, as we begin to live that at that level, oh, I'm living life. Many of Alan's messages is, I'm just living in you, Lord. I'm not living outside of you. The Holy Spirit never leaves me. He's closer than my next breath. We're co-laboring. We're having fun, etc. Wonderful. Wonderful. When Nathan mentioned about his impasse that he was coming over as far as people cutting him off driving and stuff, I'm glad that he was that honest with us because I've never been that honest with you. But I'm glad that he was that honest, you know. And Leah is just chuckling right now, like, could I tell you about Tim's experience? He feels as though that he can correct every driver, every mistake, all the time. And the way the Lord helped me with that is when I was about to correct someone one time, the Lord said, you should be glad that I allowed you to be here. Pray for him. What? What? You know, what? So, whatsoever you do in word or deed, you do all unto the Lord. It brings a level of relationship and fellowship that is a level of intimacy with you guys, with each one, you and him, that nobody else can replace. And nobody else can bring the amount of joy that later that day you may hear him say, thank you for doing that. I've said this before some time back, but I was picking up coffee for a meeting that we were having. And it wasn't a job responsibility. It was just, that's what I do. The shop is close to where I live, so I was picking coffee up. You know, and everybody tells me thank you and can I buy next time? All those wonderful things that you have within family. But coming out of the store that day, getting in my car, I could take you to the exact place that I was standing when he said, thank you. Thank you for serving my sons. Now, when you hear his voice say that, all other voices become almost silent because you know that you brought pleasure to him for what you just did. You were co-laboring. One of the words that the Lord's given to us in the past is, you don't even know or pay attention. Not pay attention. He was positive. He wasn't negative, like, shame on you. It was like, you don't even know all of the little things that you have done that has brought me pleasure. Me, God Almighty, brought me pleasure because of the little things that you've done so that I've been able to help them, so that I've been able to encourage them. You were my hand outstretched. Just the little things. Let's go to your handout. No, I have one other thing. Sorry. This is one of the ones that have such great truth in that I felt as though the Lord was putting it here. I will just read it. I turn over to see the next page and it says, "What's the hurry? Be patient." And, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. So, Lord, I'll do this. I'll read this. "As a father to my family, I'm about to give you a key. For each one who picks up this key, it will be your staff of victory. It will be your staff of victory. Take each word I speak to you as if it is said only to you. If you think of it for someone else and not you, you have already erred, and an adjustment must be made in you towards truth." He didn't say you sinned. You've already erred. You are already 1 degree off. Take each word that I give and hear it and see it and read it and allow that seed to be planted in your heart like he only spoke it to you and no one else. Make it the highest priority in your life that you receive it first and you plant it and you water it and you keep it inside of you, because incidentally the harvest is going to come from us. It's above and beyond anything we could ask or think. Set no limits on the word that's already been put in your heart for others. And set no boundaries on the word that's already in your heart. If you get it in there, set no limits and no boundaries. No matter if you ever, never ever have a mic. "Each word I speak to you that I do not specify to another is as if it is yours alone." Then he gives us caution. "Just as in the days of old, those who heard my words often cut off the message in judgment of the messenger, so it is too often in my family. I use those I choose who are willing, and my heart delights in that. I also use those I choose to help my family walk deeper in my love and truth, learning that it is not my messenger, but I who speaks to you." Isn't that powerful? We've removed the mouth or the author of these words. I've literally had, and so have you, individuals that are trying to sow discord because of the individual that gave the word. We used to have calls to the office to say, "Who's speaking on Sunday?" Not a lot. And our common answer is, "The Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit. "Well, don't be funny." Well, you may consider that funny, but we don't. You've all experienced, every speaker up here, probably with the exception of me, they come up here and they do not have any idea what they're going to say. And they've already committed completely their whole life. to feeding you or to nurturing you or to have fellowship with you one-on-one. And all they can speak is truth, because they don't have anything else to say. I mean, they're waiting on him to tell them what to say. And each voice is designed, incidentally, for the world. Just as in days of old, those who heard my words often cut off the message in judgment of the messenger, so it is too often in my family. I use those I choose who are willing, and my heart delights in that. I also use those I choose to help my family walk deeper in my love and truth, learning that it's not the messenger, but I who speak to you. Is there any word of my word that was not recorded for you? Is not each one of my words recorded just for you? So it is with the words I speak this day and the words that I have spoken to you. If you will choose, if you will make the choice, if you will choose to hear each word I speak as me speaking to you, and choose to do what I ask you to do, you will not lose. If you will take each word that has come from me, all that has been said for you, and take them to yourself as if they are brand new, and sit with me and hear me speak them to you, you will be my disciples, and my life will come forth in you. This key is my delight to give to you. I speak these things not in disappointment, but in joy that these words can be spoken to you. You are receivers of truth. And there are many things I have yet to say to you. As you hear and embrace this key of hearing my words as my life to you, you will be ready for the things I am preparing you for that I will say to you. Great is my delight in you, and great is my joy that I may come now and say these things to you. My words are life to you, and abiding in my word is discipleship in you. As you follow these instructions I give you, more instructions can come. I will speak to you as family. I will speak to you as sons. Great is my joy this day. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. I'll make one request, and that is, I would take this and I would put it on the inside of your Bible, because for certain he wants us to go into this. He doesn't want to go in today, and we won't go into it tonight at Calling in the Lost. But he does want you to get into these. The way I see it, Holy Spirit looked through this entire book, and he compared this passage to what I needed. Not necessarily what I wanted, but what I needed, because he is the teacher. And he went through and found the verses, and he designed a message from God Almighty, the Father. He designed a message that I would receive the truth. And he spoke it. And then the next service or whenever, he found another passage, and he realized the number of people that were here, and he knew that they needed that, and he spoke another word, because he is the teacher. He is the teacher. And one of them I may not have needed. I may have enjoyed being reminded, but it was not a weak spot in my life. As weak as the one that he gave me that I really did need. The one in here in regards to the sword that has become rusty and that we needed a cleansing. What Leah and I had been through, we could live back there. And what he's saying is, you only have one sword, son, and that's your mouth. And you better begin to use it and no longer live in the past, because you'll stay there and you need a cleansing. And he brought somebody from overseas to give it, and it was a woman. And Dave had said, Pastor Dave had said the same thing a month ago, 2 months before that, sometime. Only one word, he was standing right over there when he said it. Almost identically the same thing. And it's the Holy Spirit saying, I'm getting you prepared for a test. You did study it and you did hear it, but now I'm telling you again to fresh up, because I'm letting you know what's coming. You better get this ready, because you need to be prepared for the next battle. And we're saying, when are the battles are going to end? The moment that I see him in heaven. See you in 25 minutes, 10 o'clock.